No, that's kind of where the idea for data market came from. Me and my co-founder, we found that whenever we wanted to base our business plans and decisions or sales projections on the best available data, we run into the same situation. A search would start from Google. We end up with an Excel sheet here, a PDF there, a PowerPoint here, proprietary web systems over there. They were all in different formats, all in different places. And even after you found the data, you would spend a lot of time kind of cleaning it up, manipulating it, working with it before you can do anything actionable with it, whether that's kind of working it into your Excel models or draw a chart or whatever. So we came up with this idea. We're probably not the only guys in the world looking for data and running into these kind of problems. So wouldn't it be great if there was a Google for numbers, a place that we could go and basically type in keywords as we are used to on Google and find the best available or quantitative data to use in our plans. So we set out to create that. Now we kind of were clever or bootstrapped enough to take on some projects really early on. So we took on some projects that were basically the type of projects that we foresaw the problem solving when it was ready. So we started working for insurance companies and kind of different businesses, getting some experience in kind of what it is that people want when they're looking for data and when they're kind of working with data. Now, we kind of, it was a little bit of a surprise to us. So we thought we were kind of solving this problem of this data being kind of heterogeneous and scattered all over the place. We just wanted to get it in one place. But no matter kind of how fantastic data we were able to find for people or how groundbreaking analysis we thought we were doing, people really didn't get it. But draw them a chart and they fall in love. That's when they get it. That's where insight happens. That's where kind of truth. That's where the magic happens. So we learned from this experience that data visualization had to play a really big role in what we were doing. So since then, it's been a central part of what we do. So we were kind of on our way towards building this Google for numbers. We're not there yet. It will take another 4 or 5 years to do that, but it's pretty interesting already. So we have all sorts of data from World Bank, UN, IMF, Economist Intelligence Unit, and so on and so forth. All searchable, visualizable, and kind of actionable in one place. Now, it's a little bit interesting. So I proposed this one to Jeff probably some 3 months ago, and he happily accepted. Then, like 2 weeks ago, I got an email from Jeff, and he said, "Oh, please, speakers, remember this is a PowerPoint free zone." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to speak about data visualization." challenge accepted. I decided to kind of try to prove to you how effective data visualization can be without any visuals. So here we go. I'm going to use population pyramids to tell you a little bit about the state of the world. So how many here knows what a population pyramid is? Okay, not a lot of people raising their hands. So essentially, a population pyramid is a couple of bar graphs, facing back to back, where you have kind of on the y-axis, you have the age of people, and then you have the genders on either side. So the female over here, men over there, and it kind of ends up drawing a pattern that becomes quite distinct and can tell you a lot about the population that is being visualized. So up here we have the 100-year-olds, down here we have the newborns, and then kind of around here we have the 20-year-olds. So a population pyramid for a developing country, let's say a sub-Saharan African country, will look something like this. There are very few people kind of in their 70s. And then it goes like this, almost like a top of a circus tent. So this is a symbol of high mortality rates, high birth rates, and relatively short lifespans. Now as countries develop, and kind of prosperity, stability, education comes in, the age groups tend to become more even. So the walls of the circus then start to form. So if you go to Latin America, for example, let's take Venezuela, Mexico, Peru, Ecuador as an example, the circus then maybe stops a little bit higher up. It goes like this to the age of about 20, United States or most Western countries, actually this is kind of this is what happened in about mid last century. So what's basically been happening since? So we had kind of the first half of the century where the population was growing, then the baby boom after the Second World War. So today the U.S. population pyramid looks like this. There aren't a lot of 100-year-olds, but the growth has gone very high. So around kind of the so people born in the late 50s, early 60s, and since then it's pretty much flat. So what happened then is that you had the baby boom, but then people started planning their families, they started using contraceptives, and so on, and since then it's been pretty stable. Now this is kind of, this points to a few things. First of all, the baby boom, the people born in the baby boom, they will soon retire. They'll put some strain on social services, retirement services, and so on. But the good thing is that you have a healthy young population. You have a young population that will kind of keep the wheels running as you go on. What you don't want is what you see in a lot of European countries. You see this in Japan, you see this in Korea, where the wars of the time have actually started going in. So that everybody had this baby boom at about the same time. But in most of Europe, the pyramid kind of looks like this. So you have a very narrow, you have relatively small groups of young people that will kind of run society in the future, and we kind of will see a decline. We'll see a decline in the, let's say, active population, whereas more and more people go into retirement. And that means trouble, unless people change a lot. Either they change the retirement age. Why is there a retirement age? Why isn't there a retirement proportion? We can sustain 15% of our elderly retirement. That's kind of, you know, that would be dynamic, that would fix itself. Or, you know, these countries have to change the standards that they set to the caring of the elderly or something like that. But, you know, these kind of inward climbing walls is something that you don't want in your population. So, you know, with that, I hope I've been able to draw you a few pictures here without any visuals, and show you how, as soon as you start visualizing something, if I've just been talking about these different populations, you probably not have got nearly the same understanding as I hope you've got it from this story. So this was just merely one point to show how visualization can help people understand data.